It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo, it is hump day. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson, and this is the Kim Munson Show, where we have important conversations. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, and force versus freedom. And most Americans, most Coloradans, prefer freedom. And that is why we take a look at all of these issues. It is a big day. Today is our Stand for Colorado rally. And I can't believe it's here, January 8th. Steve, it is here. Can you believe it?
I can't because, you wouldn't have. When's the first time we talked about this? Probably the first week of December.
It's been a while, yeah.
And, well, December. It just by itself goes flying right past us. But, yes, it's here.
And amazingly, we have been given a forecast of a beautiful day, of a high of 60 degrees. And so we encourage all of you to be down at the Capitol 11 o'clock this morning. We will have, we thought we had 16 amazing women. It will be 15 amazing women who will be speaking today. I just got a text message. Rose Puglisi, Mesa County Commissioner, is not going to be able to make it across the mountains today. She has a family emergency, and we will miss her because she is truly, she and Don Wilson, who is the mayor down in Monument, once this 2019 legislature and then the governor signed the national popular vote into law here in Colorado, they sprang into action because the people of Colorado in our Constitution have the right to actually review legislation. And they said, okay, you know what, let's put this on the ballot and see what people think about this. See if people of Colorado really want to give away their vote and their voice to the big population centers like Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, and Chicago. And so she will be missed today. But family comes first, and we totally understand that. We will be talking with some of our other fabulous Women of the West speakers later on in the show, and so you'll want to stay tuned for that. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. Now, communism has force all over it, but you vote in socialism. But to get rid of it, then you have to actually use force to get rid of it. And we saw that actually happen in World War II when the Allies had to stand against Hitler and the National Socialist German Workers' Party as they continued that. He was voted into office, but then he took force and started to take over other countries, wiping out certain parts of the population. And one of the things we're going to do today, Steve, is we're going to have a selfie contest down at the Stanford, Colorado rally. And so I you know what, I'll have to give you what those selfie numbers are, where you would text that. But it's going to be a contest, and the winner will actually receive a vial of sand that I brought back from Normandy, from Omaha Beach. And so they'll get a vial of sand. My friend Brad Hoops has written a beautiful book. It's a 75 different essays on, it's called Reflections of Our Gentle Warriors. And he's interviewed many, many World War II veterans. They'll get that book. And then two cups of coffee from another one of our very active members that has helped us on all this. And so that's going to be kind of cool, Steve.
I don't know where you dream this stuff up. I mean, this is fascinating. I say that because you are the creative side of what goes on here, not on this side of the glass.
Well, quite frankly, I can't take credit for this. This was a collaborative idea that came up. But it's amazing when you put a lot of minds together, you can come up with some pretty good ideas. But let's remember, as we look at this 2020 legislature that is convening today, that it is never compassionate to take people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether it's with a weapon or with policy or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it.
Now, let's back up a second because
okay. You
always, I sit over here and all of a sudden you'll say something and my mind takes off, which doesn't happen very often anymore. How did you phrase that earlier that studies show people prefer freedom over force?
Yes.
All right. Okay, that almost sounds like a no-brainer, but there are things going down around us here in state and local governments where force is really being applied, and yet people don't get a sense of it. They don't know that they're being forced to do certain things. And again, it just highlights or magnifies what we do here.
Well, and, you know, the other code words for force can be mandate, it can be compliance, it can be regulations, rules, laws. Then you look at your pocketbook, there's fees and there's taxation. And so through fees and taxation, that is a way that PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties can take your money. But through rules and regulations and requirements for compliance and mandates, that's another way that PBIs can take your freedom. And I think, as you mentioned, I don't think a lot of people realize that. And good, you know, people want to be good citizens. And so being compliant, playing by the rules, you know, that's something that I think is inherent with good citizenship. But what we're seeing is with the radical left that has taken over the Democrat Party, this is no longer the Democrat Party of JFK. The radicals that have taken this over no longer want to play by the rules. And one of the things that I will just mention here, I thought about this, and I did think we'd talk about it today, but that is where the Colorado Supreme Court judge, hold on here, they just ruled that the camping ban was unconstitutional. I'll find that here as we go through this.
Well, while you're looking, I'm thinking we don't think of it, our government at any level is forcing us to do anything because usually, you know, it just comes about until we see like a grandiose example, 2010, Obamacare. What happened if you didn't play along? You were penalized, right?
Well, and that was what was so interesting about Obamacare is it was the first time in the history of America that you would actually be fined and penalized for not doing something. So it was forcing you to do something, and if you didn't, you would be fined and penalized. I know of a young man who, it was just by accident, he let his insurance lapse. So this was a young guy, just got out of college, and you know, we talk about college debt and all these things, and he accidentally let his insurance lapse. He had to pay the government $900. I mean, really? I mean, that's unbelievable. But here, I think I found it here. Here we go. This was from the Denver Channel. The judge rules that Denver's urban camping ban is unconstitutional, citing the Eighth Amendment. It's Judge Johnny Barajas, I believe, ruled that the ban violated the Eighth Amendment's prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment because it criminalizes homeless individuals for trying to survive on the streets when they have nowhere else to go. The ban was put in place in 2012. The ruling prohibits Denver police from arresting or harassing homeless people if they are not doing anything of criminal nature. Denver issued a short response on Friday. City Attorney spokesperson Ryan Luby said, "We disagree with the ruling and plan to appeal to district court." In May, Denver residents voted to reject Initiative 300, which would have overturned the camping ban. The vote against the initiative was 145,000 to 33,000. So, Steve, I think the point here is that, you know, people want to play by the rules, and the far left has taken advantage of that. And so, you know, regular, hardworking Coloradans, they have to play by the rules. You see this legislature last year, and they're ramping up this year to put in more rules and regulations. And if you're not compliant, there's going to be, like, if you're not compliant as an employer for, you know, new taxes and fees, then you're going to be penalized. But then how is it that lack of order over here on our streets? I was downtown yesterday at the Capitol as we were and did a walkthrough just to, in preparation for the Stand for Colorado rally today. And I walked by on the street just mountains of trash and junk. And then you looked out from the Capitol west towards the Civic Center building and you saw tents. I mean, honestly, would you have ever believed in America that there would become that lack of order? And then I saw Fox News is doing a whole week-long special regarding what is happening to San Francisco. And people are defecating on the streets. They're using the streets as bathrooms. Steve, would you have ever believed this would have ever happened to our beautiful cities? And so what's happened is the radical left has taken them over, and they require order and all this for everyday, hardworking, regular people. And then they let but moving away from law and order, and they're saying that that is okay. Your point, Steve.
Well, it takes your breath away. You see the pictures of San Francisco. You see, as we probably will today, what you observed, and you're thinking, all right, what is the commonality here? And, you know, I hate to say it, I'm going to be very blunt, but it's this government that just cannot deal with. I'm not saying that they're standing behind it and pushing it out, but they're just not choosing to deal with it very well.
Well, and, you know, the other thing about it, Steve, is that the homelessness, poverty, affordable housing has become big business for these bureaucrats and many of these politicians. There is now money involved in that. And so if they actually solved the problem, then that money would go away. So they have no interest in solving the problem. If they can make the problem worse, they wring their hands about, we need more money, we need more, you know, more money, really. That's what it's about. And then they take their cut, and they don't really give a flying rip about the homeless. They don't really give a flying rip about the affordable housing. And it was just evident as I was walking into the Capitol, there was a guy that walked in front of me, and clearly he probably was on drugs. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart that we are letting this happen, because I don't believe that has to happen. So I've gotten a little off of our regular schedule here. So I want to get back on a couple of things. I always like to say thank you to the team, because this doesn't happen without other people helping as well. And so Zach, Steve, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, I appreciate all of you. And to you listeners, thank you. You each are treasured. You're valued. Strive for excellence today. And take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. And the quote that I will find who said this, we mentioned it yesterday, is we should not strive to be good people. We should strive to be better people. And that is our mantra for today. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson, that's spelled MONSON.com. And check out the StandForColorado.com website as well. And Steve, just a quick comment on the rally today. I'm very excited. I've received many messages, people that will be there, people that cannot be there. And we certainly would appreciate your help with our expenses. If you can go to my website and contribute a little bit, we greatly appreciate that. This is very organic. We are doing this all on ourselves, by ourselves, and so we would appreciate that. So that is StandForColorado.com. And there is risk when we decide to do things like this. Will people show up? What will it be like? What will the weather be like? And I think it's going to be a historical day down at the State House. And if at all possible, please join us today and bring your colleagues with you as well. Take a little longer lunch break. But if you can be with us, it is important that these PBIs that will be convening down under the Golden Dome today can see that we as Coloradans are standing for Colorado and we care. Before we get to break, I thought about, I was going through, you know, there's risk, there's achievement. What happens with risk? Because ultimately, you achieve different things. And Steve, you may not know this about Lincoln, but I found this. This was Lincoln's road to the White House. Now, there certainly were successes in here, but many of these failures would have stopped people. So, Steve, I think you'll find this absolutely fascinating. Lincoln failed in business in 1831. He was defeated for the legislature in 1832. His second failure in business was in 1833. He suffered a nervous breakdown in 1836. He was defeated for speaker in 1838. He was defeated for elector in 1840. He was defeated for Congress in 1843. He was defeated for Congress in 1848. He was defeated for Senate in 1855. He was defeated for Vice President in 1856. He was defeated for Senate in 1858, and he was elected President in 1860. Is that not absolutely amazing?
Well, I know we've seen it, I guess, a couple times now, and certainly in our lifetime, fairly recently, but across the, you know, the history of the U.S. presidency, there are some people who have really, you know, met the challenges. And you wonder, you know, the average man would have said, I'm sorry, I got to pack it all in here. This obviously isn't working for me.
And he didn't. And through that, he was able to, as president, keep the Union together. And we abolished slavery. And so I think the in the words of Churchill, never, never, never give up. So we're going to go to break here in just a minute. Before we do, I have one funnies for you. And since the legislature was convening, I thought, okay, is there a Congress joke or a long? And so this was from Jimmy Kimmel a little while back. He said, according to a new estimate, Congress has had a full work week just 14% of the time since 1978. Congress said they plan to address the report next week because it's already Tuesday. Ha! And there you have that. Before we go to... You know what? I don't think you should bonus the drummer this week because it was just a little slow, Steve.
Well, you know, sometimes he never knows what's coming for sure. And sometimes it catches him off guard and he's so busy laughing. Yeah. And other times he's keeps waiting. Like, is there something else?
Point well taken. A couple things I want to make sure, again, Stanford, Colorado, we're going to be talking with Sharona Bishop. She is on the line. She will be one of our fabulous Women of the West speakers, and she'll be talking about her concern of the red flag law that was passed by this legislature in 2019. One other thing, because we see this movement towards socialism, next Monday night, we will do our first salon series with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice over at Water's Edge Winery. It's the Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism, and it's Monday, January 13th, 5 to 8 p.m., and you can go to my website, Kim Munson, spelled MONSON.com, to sign up. It's a $20 cover, and then you go ahead and just order and pay for whatever it is you want to eat or drink, and Jen and FD and the team over there do such a great job. And one other thing, actually, after the event today, the girls are coming over tonight, Steve, and so I'm not going to have a lot of time, and so I'm going to order Hooters barbecue shrimp and probably some of their wings for the girls tonight. And you said you and Jason may think about coming over, huh?
Yes, so order appropriately.
But it is also NFL playoff time, and the place to watch the games is Hooters Restaurants. We have plenty of TVs, so you won't miss any of the action. And if you want some delish wings while you watch the Avs and Nuggets, chase the playoff spot. Hooters is the place for you. Wednesday, today is Dine-In Wing Day. All the wings you can eat for $14.99. And if you don't want to cook, just like me, you can have Hooters wings or the barbecue shrimp delivered right to your front door. More information, check out my website, kimmunson.com. We're going to go to break. I have Sharona Bishop on the line. You know her probably if you are active on social media as America's Mom. I'm just really excited to chat with her. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Oh, I just love these songs from the West, and it is great because we have 15 amazing women of the West that will be speaking today. 60-degree day on January 8th. The good Lord and the Weather Committee has done a fine job on the weather. And on the line with me is Sharona Bishop. She is America's Mom. She really is concerned about this red flag law that was passed by the 2019 legislature. And Sharona Bishop, I am so excited that you'll be speaking today.
Yes, good morning. Kim, thank you so much, and thank you for all your efforts in bringing us together on this first day of our legislature for 2020. It's going to be a doozy, and the red flag law that has finally gone into effect is just one example of the outrageous and unconstitutional bills that were signed into law last year. I cannot imagine what they have in store for us this year.
You know, Sharona, what's interesting is we have 15 women, and we have many different issues, and the issues are across the spectrum. But what we see is somebody that might be concerned about their medical freedom and forced vaccinations. And then we see people over here that are concerned about lack of due process over on the red flag law and the ability for people to be able to, if they choose to carry a firearm or have a firearm so that they can protect themselves and their families. And what we see it that is uniting us all is this question of freedom versus force. So if freedom is good over here in whatever the issue is, then freedom is probably good over here on this other issue. Right, Sharona?
Well, I agree with that. The unfortunate thing is fear-mongering is alive and well in Colorado, and every potential fear that a person can have, the Democrats have been so great, or this progressive socialist version has been so great at exaggerating the worst possible scenario and then blanketing it for the entire state of Colorado. Let's just talk about the practical nature of the red flag bill. There is no funding allocated for the storage of all of these weapons that are, you know, presumed to be taken from innocent people. Due process absolutely is not even a part of this bill. To think that we would allow a judge to determine the sanity of an individual is insane. Since when are judges mental health specialists? And on top of that, you know, as we've heard other people saying too, to be putting our sheriffs, our deputies in the line of fire because that person who has the right to their own property, who has the right to due process, does not have to go down quietly when someone comes into their home to take their stuff without a search warrant, without due process. So we're setting up a scenario that's going to be so devastating, not only for the people of Colorado, but for our law enforcement as well.
Well, and most definitely. And what judge, as you mentioned, if somebody comes and makes an allegation that someone is a danger to themselves or those around them, what judge would actually say, oh, well, I'm not sure. The point on this, though, is that if, in fact, someone is such a danger that we have to have law enforcement show up and search their homes and take their firearms and with no due process, then instead of removing the firearms, shouldn't we remove the person? So this isn't really about keeping people safe. This is a shell game to actually disarm everyday, hardworking, law-abiding citizens.
You're absolutely right. In the state of Colorado, we already have 24 and 72-hour hold laws where we can remove a person who is suicidal or is, you know, claiming crazy things. We can take them and have them mentally evaluated. That already is in place. And what I really dislike the most about this red flag law is they never tell the truth. They never told the people the truth that we already have these bills in place, these laws in place that actually protect Colorado citizens, sometimes from themselves. This has definitely been a gun grab issue, and it's so sad to me because people will say, you know, for years now it's been a conspiracy theory that they were coming for our guns. You remember? And we would constantly hear over and over and over, they're not coming for your guns, they're not coming for your guns. Well, we spent time with the Alamosa sheriff, a Democrat sheriff, Sheriff Franklin, and, you know, even he was one of the first people to stand up and say, this red flag law is a sham. This is not about securing and protecting people. This is about taking away people's property, and particularly their guns. And why do we want to do that? Because when you remove your guns, you have no way to defend the rest and protect the rest of your constitutional rights. That gun is so imperative to securing your personal freedom as well as your personal protection. And they absolutely are after your guns.
Now, Sharona, you and I have met, it was several years ago, and and then, of course, Lauren Boebert is going to be speaking as well. And Lauren, I can't remember if she said it on the air or if it was, in her bio, but she's basically, 100 pounds, 5 foot. I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh, and I'm not going to ask you how much you weigh, but we're not really big people. And and being able to carry a firearm is the great equalizer between a 100-pound woman and a perpetrator that might be trying to come in and hurt her and her family. And I don't think that people understand that. And with this red flag law, what if, let's give a scenario of, let's say that there is a 100-pound woman who happens to maybe be in a divorce situation, and she certainly is proficient with her firearm to protect herself and her family, and the other person, the other party to this divorce, goes to the judge and makes the allegation that she is a danger to those around her, and the judge disarms her. That then takes away her ability, the great equalizer. And that's why this red flag law, I think, is so bad, Sharona.
I agree. And, gun rights are women's rights. Gun rights are gay rights. Gun rights are men's rights. Gun rights are a human rights issue. If we don't have the ability to defend and protect ourselves, what are we to do? Lauren has said it many times. She was on the Dan Haskins show last night talking about this very issue, that we have to be able to, that gun provides that great equalizer, as you said. It allows us to be able to defend ourselves, to protect our home, our property, and more than that, and further than that, is the founder's intention with guns, and the ability to protect and defend ourselves from a tyrannical government. So it does extend past our personal property. I believe that was assumed by our founders, that we would always defend our own selves. But when it comes to women and these difficult situations, divorces and separations, we all hear the stories, we see the headlines, and we know that time and time again, a woman has been able to defend herself from an intruder, a predator, or even an adversarial ex who intends to do harm to them. And we can never remove that right and that opportunity from women to be able to defend themselves. Absolutely not.
Well, I am so excited, Sharona Bishop, that you will be one of our fabulous Women of the West speakers today. So 11 o'clock on the west steps of the Capitol. Be sure and join us. And Sharona, thank you so much. We're going to go to break here in just a moment, and we will see you at 11 o'clock this morning.
Kim, thank you so much. And for all of your efforts in preserving and protecting Colorado, God bless you, and we'll see you at the Capitol.
Sounds great. So, hey, Jason McBride, how
are
you?
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
Okay, I have a favor to ask you.
Okay.
And that is, I got a little long-winded in these first two segments, and I would like to talk with you a little bit about Iran.
Okay.
Two things. Iran had launched, those ballistic missiles yesterday, and of course, we want to know what the market might do. And then Time Magazine, Time for Kids, came out with an article on how to talk to your kids about the killing of Soleimani. And so would you mind, could we push all this, go to break, and then come back and give us a little bit more time to talk about that?
Absolutely.
Okay, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. We're going to go to break, and then when we come back, we'll talk with him about kind of what he thinks the market will do, and I want to get his take on these two issues. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. And today, January 8th, first day of the legislature convenes down at the State House. And that's why we are showing up to stand for Colorado and say we are watching. That government is supposed to be within a particular small limited box. And this group down there at the State House that's in control has kind of forgotten that. And so that's why we are standing for Colorado 11 o'clock on the west steps of the Capitol. Jason McBride, I think we threw Steve for a loop because normally we talk with you first and then go to break. But I wanted to extend this just a little bit, Jason, because, you know, last week President Trump ordered a drone strike that took out General Soleimani from Iran. Interesting to me, he was in Iraq when they did that. I mean, why was he over there? I'm not quite sure about that. But the left has been wringing their hands on this. And Iran said that they're going to respond. And so yesterday, late yesterday, Iran shot off 15 ballistic missiles. It looks like nothing. They didn't hit anything. But you said it could maybe disrupt the markets on a short-term basis, huh?
Well, I don't know if it will. It's interesting, Kim. Right after this happened, the futures for the Dow were down like 500 points. That was last evening. But lo and behold, this morning, the futures are pretty flat. It looks like the market might start actually even up a very small amount. So maybe they expected us to have a very fast response and that we'd be in all-out war by this morning. Maybe they expected Iran would no longer be in existence at this point. But so far, you know, there hasn't been any retaliation, so the market is not unsettled as of this point.
Okay. Now, Patty had pulled, Patty does our research, and she pulls several articles that I just wanted to throw these out here with you, Jason. And the first thing I wanted to mention is I saw a tweet from Ben Shapiro. He said it was, if this was the extent of the Iranian response, which it appears it was, and that's the 15 ballistic missiles that didn't hit anything, he says Trump should let it lie. Trading the top terror leader in Iran for an unsuccessful ballistic missile strike is worthwhile, and so is letting Tehran save enough face to stop the escalation. I think I agree with him on that.
I don't agree with him on that.
You don't?
Okay.
This
is the same thing that Iran has been doing for many years, you know, with their little boats threatening our Navy boats. They're constantly poking just to test to see if we will respond and to see what they can get away with. Now, I don't believe Trump should break his promise that Iran will never have a nuke by sending like 50 of our nukes over there at this point. But absolutely, I believe there should be some type of response, and I think it should be meaningful enough to let them know that we mean business and they're not going to pull this kind of garbage against the U.S. anymore.
Okay, okay. Then that definitely makes a lot of sense as well. Okay, two other things I just wanted to run by. And Patty had found this, and she thought this was really important, that in an article dated August 4th of 2014, and her point is, bringing it up now, is that the left is mourning the death of Soleimani. Time magazine even put out a primer for parents if their kids are upset about this evil person's death.
Oh, thank God. My kids have been, you know, beside themselves. I saw my little niece who's 4 and my nephew who's 2, and both of them are non-functional at this point because of this whole Soleimani thing. Thank you so much, Time Magazine. I don't know what I would have done without you.
Yeah, well, and I don't think we're going to have time to go through it. It is absolutely astounding. But she said, and this is Patty's question, she said, is why didn't we mourn the death of Major General Harold Green, who was killed by an Afghan soldier who opened fire on senior American officers? How many of us knew of his death? I think I kind of remembered it. But he was the highest ranking member of the NATO-led coalition. She said it's her understanding that when his body was flown home, there were only 2 elected officials present. And I think that is a very, very important point, that our top-ranking general was killed in Afghanistan and the mainstream media didn't pay any attention. But yet here we have, this guy was a terrorist. Somebody sent me a video of a woman who is Iranian, and she said the guy was a monster, and that most people in Iran, most Iranians are very excited that he was taken out, and that many of these mourners that you see are actually being paid. And so one has to ask, Jason, why? Why is the far left so hand-wringing and trying? I think they're trying to escalate this instead of Trump. And so your final thought on that, Jason McBride?
Well, you know, Kim, with this situation and just about every other one that we have, I tend to believe the mainstream media is about 90% of all the problems that we have right now. You're correct. They have created this narrative that we should be mourning for this person, where they could have just as easily made the point that this was a good thing, that this guy is gone. And, you know, just think how that changes kind of the mood of the country and the patriotism towards America in this and so many other situations. You and I have talked, Kim, and I've made the point, I think this fits right in. If the media would just cover the Trump administration just fairly, and they don't have to dote all over him, if they would just give fair coverage, I think most of the country would be euphoric right now about what we have going on. But instead, they want to attack and always have this negativity. And you know, it gets to people after a while, no matter what side you're on, when it just keeps getting pounded into your head every day, everywhere you turn. I mean, I think it's very bad for America and maybe for the whole rest of the world, because this is a global media problem.
Well, and totally agree with you on that. Two other quick things. Michael Moore has apologized to Iran on behalf of the American people for the airstrike that killed Soleimani. And then, as you mentioned, the good news that nobody is even talking about, although this was from Bloomberg, but you haven't seen this in the headlines, that the U.S. companies repatriated cash. The number hits $1 trillion under Trump's tax law. And so, Jason McBride, I'm pushing time so much today because we have
That's
so many
fine.
Things. But tomorrow, you're going to be in studio. And
yes.
We're going to talk about a piece that was it CNBC or MSNBC that I sent over to you regarding, again, the mainstream media trying to prop up the narrative that China is really great and that the U.S. economy is not as great as China's. And I know that you're delving into that. And, Jason, the care that you take for these calls that we have every morning is what you bring to your clients. And I know your team at Presidential Wealth Management does that as well. I would highly encourage people to reach out to you at Presidential Wealth Management and sit down and do a discovery session. And I can't wait to talk with you tomorrow again.
All right. Well, I appreciate that very much, Kim. And I will see you bright and early tomorrow morning and possibly at the Capitol today, depending on how busy things are at work with people worried about what they're hearing on the TV.
Okay, well, it looks like things may have gotten settled down. So with any luck, we'll see you. I know that if you're not there, you'll be there in spirit. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, thanks so much.
Have a wonderful day, Kim.
Thank you. And let's go to Patty Kergan. Patty Kergan, how are you? You are one of our fabulous women of the West.
Thank you, Kim. Good morning, and doing great. Thank you for doing this rally. I think it's going to be phenomenal, and we're going to have a great turnout.
Well, and I appreciate all your help on this, and also I appreciate the research that you do for the show as well. You know, you really you nailed it when we were when you brought out this point regarding the fact that you know, the airwaves are just filled right now with this hand-wringing about the death of Soleimani, but yet it seemed that they didn't even care when, Major General Green was killed over in Afghanistan. So thank you. I think you're a regular Nulli Bly. You're getting to the real journalistic truth of these things. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
Okay, let's talk about the issue that you will be speaking about today at our rally, and that is this forced family leave that these radical activists tried to get through last year, and they didn't, but they've been working all summer, and they're going to try to possibly do that again this year, right, Patty?
Yes, this will actually be the sixth time in the last 7 years that they've tried to get something across the finish line in terms of the paid family leave. It's interesting because at the beginning of the show, you were talking about when you might not hear the word force, but some of the other words that you might hear is mandates, rules and regulations, and fees. And that is exactly what we are hearing in regards to paid family leave. It will be mandated across the board. There's three different proposals out there. Two, it would be a combination of employees and employers paying. They call it a premium instead of a tax. And then the third alternative that they're looking at now is where it would just be paid by the employer. And it would be, again, a premium. So why not call it a tax when that's really what it is? And we all know the reason. It's because of our taxpayer bill of rights, and they don't want the people to have the ability to vote on this because it would be voted down.
Okay. So, Patty, I think this is kind of new to me. My understanding is that initially this forced family leave, because they have to raise money, and they would do it, like you said, via a fee that's taken out of your paycheck, and that it would be something that the employee would pay part of it and the employer. But now, in order to try to get people support, they're going to say the employer has to pay the complete fee. Is that right?
Correct. So they're particular proposal is through the governor's office and Governor Polis. And what they would like to do is to have Pinnacle do a paid family leave insurance like they have done with the workers' comp. So it would be run by a private entity, but it would still be mandated by the state that each business owner carries this policy. So it's interesting because when you think of mandated and insurance, what comes to my mind is Obamacare, and we all know where that's gone with the individual mandate. So this will probably end up, I've already have heard on the street that a lot of people are talking about this, where it goes through, they probably will end up suing because they feel that it's a mandate that they shouldn't have to, you know, abide by.
Well,
and that's what I've said all along. I want to stress that I am not against paid family leave programs at all. What I'm against is government force and government intervention dictating and making it off, you know, it fits everybody in this jar, a program, because that's not reality. And unfortunately, the people that they're trying to help the most, they say that it's the lower paid tier that needs help, that they have to take time off, they'll end up losing their job. Because
right.
with this additional cost to the business, they will either have to eat that, which they can't.
Most margins aren't high enough.
Correct. Or they're going to have to pass it on to their customers. So one of the easiest industries to look at right now is the restaurant industry, because they're being hit with minimum wage. And we're seeing that these restaurants are now closing. Even we were talking yesterday, there's three on Pearl Street that have just closed.
Right.
One was in business for 25 years, and it was cited. One of the reasons was cited was the increase in minimum wage. You know, there's only so much you can put on to these employers.
Well, for sure. And then so if you add in that forced minimum wage, then you add in this forced or mandated family leave. Ultimately, I think that these PBIs think that we have a good economy here in Colorado. And one other thing, Patty, that you uncovered, we talked about it a lot during this whole question on Prop CC, was how much in corporate welfare these same PBIs are giving to selected companies. And ultimately, this is unsustainable. You know, if Colorado is such a sustainable state, then we should make sure that we have a sustainable economic future. And paid family leave, forced, we should say, again, we're not opposed to free, you know, free when we say that it's between an employer and employee when they make that decision on paid family leave, but mandated government family leave, no way. So, hey, Patty Kergan, I am so excited that you will be one of our fabulous Women of the West speakers. So 11 o'clock today down at the West Steps of the Capitol. Thank you for all the work that you put in on this.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you to your listeners. And I hope we get to meet a lot of them today.
Sounds great. Now, we're going to go to break. And on the line with me is a woman of tremendous courage. When you talk about somebody, she's smart and she has courage and she says what she has researched and knows is true. And that is Dr. Jill Vecchio. And she is on the line. We're going to be talking about health care freedom, freedom in healthcare. And she is probably the foremost expert, I think, in the country on this. She is one of the few people that read the complete Obamacare bill. And so she's got the creds to be able to talk about this. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. And today is a big day. It is our Stand for Colorado rally, 11 o'clock, down at the west steps of the Capitol. Be sure and join us there to take a stand and show these PBIs that are convening under the Golden Dome there that we are watching. And we care about what's going on in our state. And in fact, Colorado was really built on the rugged, individualistic, freedom-loving spirit of everyday hardworking people. And one of those rugged, individualistic people is Dr. Jill Vecchio, my good friend. Jill, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
I am so excited that you will be our speaker today regarding healthcare freedom. I continue to hear and see rumblings about a potential single-payer system here in Colorado. And that ultimately, I think you're the one that has said, whenever government gets involved in something like this, the supply becomes limited, the quality goes down, and the price goes up. So why do you stand for healthcare freedom, Dr. Jill?
When government controls healthcare, it controls the people. They can force anything on us. They'll decide when we have health care, how much we get, from whom we get it. And if they say we don't get it, then you're going to have to dig deep to figure out how to pay for it in cash. And that's what's happened in all of these other single-payer or universal health care, government-run health care, whatever kind of system they've set up, socialized medicine. It turns into a two-tiered system. So they have pretty, kind of a really basic health care that is people have to wait a long time to get help. The government decides or somebody somewhere decides how much they're going to get and makes all those decisions for them. Or they have the option of paying cash somewhere else. Now, in some parts of Canada, they can't even have that option. So that's why a bunch of Canadians come down to the U.S. Government-run health care isn't working in any system, in any country that has it. People will say, oh, it works over here at Sweden or it works over here, but that's if you have cash. That's because there's a cash pay system alongside it, or people have to go somewhere else, like to the United States, to pay cash for health care.
Okay, Jill, you actually read the Obamacare bill. You were out there early in talking with people about what you saw were potential challenges with this. And now here we are years later, and we've seen it play out. And what I have heard that they are saying in colleges and to many of our young people that are training in the medical profession is that Obamacare just didn't have the opportunity to be successful. It just needed more time. How would you respond to that?
Obamacare did exactly what it was intended to do, was to wreck the system that we have. So the system we had was messed up, don't get me wrong, but Obamacare made it that much worse. And when I read one of the first things, and I still had to do a whole lot of research to understand more about how the system works, but with the knowledge that I had when I read that law, all I could think was, this is going to trash the system, and all it's doing is setting us up for people jumping on the wagon to get single-payer health care because they're so desperate. And Obamacare has made a lot of people quite very desperate. we have these, the one good thing that could move people into the system that I would recommend, but the high deductible plans are awful, mostly because we have high deductible, but we don't get to negotiate our prices. And if the insurance company isn't paying for it, if we're paying for it, a lot of time we're paying that charge price, which is, as we've discussed before, a ridiculous price. It's like 10 times what the providers get reimbursed from the insurance companies. We should just have to pay the whatever the insurance companies get reimbursed is what we should have to pay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But with the high deductible plans, we're also paying huge premiums for once we, if we ever fill our deductible, fulfill the deductible, then it pays for everything. Well, it's ridiculous because most people, like, I'm not even using my insurance plan, but I'm still paying high premiums for it to cover everything after I pay my premium. So that should just be fine. Have a high deductible, but then give us a break on the premiums, and it should be like a third for a catastrophic insurance policy. We can do that. I mean, not everybody, but the vast majority of people could do that.
Well, and the question, and I continue to hear from a political standpoint that something needs to be done regarding health care. I was talking to a young mom yesterday, and their health care premiums are $700 a month. So, you know, it's a high premium, $8,400 a year out of their pocket. I mean, that is a lot. Plus, then, as you mentioned, they have a high deductible. And so I agree with you. I think Obamacare has done exactly what it was intended to do, where people are now like, this is so expensive, and this isn't really work. We need to figure out a different plan. And then people go, oh, government can handle this. But there is a better way, Jill Vecchio. What is that?
Well, the better way is, and a lot of this we can just do, we could do on our own. I think I mentioned last time I was on the show that, I mean, Trump could tweet out, hey, what's this deal with charge versus price? You know, if we can get people to post prices and prices that are comparable or should be even, it should be less than what the insurance companies get reimbursed. Because if we're paying cash, that saves those businesses a ton of money on billing and, you know, negotiating with insurance companies and filling out all the paperwork for insurance companies. So we should be able to get a price that's 10%, less than 10% of what the charge is, that great big number that you see on the statements you get. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, Jill, your point, though, and I just thought of this, is if, in fact, we started to have more of this free market between the patient and the doctor, then all these jobs that have been created for coding and the fact that that would actually start to maybe cut into the insurance company's business, if you will. And you and I both learned after we watched all this that big government and big business like each other. And so this free market idea might actually start to cut into the you know, the revenues of the big insurance companies, which have been in bed with big government on health care for a long time.
Yeah, and big contributors to, you know, campaigns.
Both sides of the aisle.
Let's face it, the government is never going to, Congress is not going to fix health care. So it's moving a little bit, inching closer and closer, but very slowly. And I think President Trump could get on the Twitter feed and make a huge change in healthcare with no legislation needed, and it would be market pressure. Market pressure for, let's give it these prices, because, you know, like a facility, a healthcare facility or a private doctor's office may have up to overhead costs up to 40% of their practice.
Wow.
40%. And that overhead, you know, you've got scheduling and you've got some nurses and things like that, but most of the overhead is billing and collection. And a lot of doctors don't even bother with a collection agency anymore because they're not going to get the money anyway. So they just kind of write off a whole bunch of what they call bad debt. But you know what? If they didn't try to soak people for this outrageous charge, if they just charged people like even 5% or 10% less than what the insurance company reimburses them, the doctor gets his money, the patient can manage costs a whole lot better. And think about that $700 a month. Like, well, I can tell you that we're paying something like $1,600 a month just for the two of us on a group plan with a high deductible. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is.
So if you put that much money aside, I'm surprised the family is at $700. I really am. But if you put that money, let's say $1,000 a month aside, you would have $12,000 to pay cash for health care. Now, you add on top of that, you've got your deductible on an HSA. That's, let's say, another $1,600 or another another $6,000. So you've got like almost $20,000 a year.
Jill,
you could pay cash in healthcare. You think about that. That's really what you need to think about.
That makes a difference. So, well, we're just about out of time. I am so excited that you will be talking about healthcare freedom today at our rally, 11 o'clock down at the Capitol. It's going to be a beautiful day. And Jill Vecchio, you are an amazing woman of the West.
Thank you, Kimmy. So are you. We'll see you today.
Sounds great. And our quote for today, again, ladder of achievement. 0%, you say, I won't. 10%, I can't. 20%, I don't know. 30%, I wish I could. 40%, what is right. 50%, I think I might. 60%, I might. 70%, I think I can. 80%, I can. 90%, I will. 100%, I did. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. And today, stand for Colorado, 11 o'clock on the west steps of the Capitol. More information, standforcolorado.com. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell